This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Well, my friends, you are in for a treat today because today's guest has it all. She does her homework. She's fun and energetic. Let me just tell you, I got a full leg, like a full batma. And if you don't know what that is, it's a big old kick. I got full leg right before we started, by the way. She is fun, energetic, a wealth of knowledge, also dancer choreographer and experience. Also, she can drop an F-bomb like nobody's business. It is my pleasure to welcome the self-proclaimed, but I have no doubt that it's true, Swiss Army knife of conferences. It is Karen Snowden Yee, Director of Global Conferences. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction. I think we're done. I think that's it.
And yeah, that was really nice speaking to you. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thanks, Carrie. Good job. I really appreciate it. That's a lovely introduction. Thank you.
You deserve it. I'm thrilled to be here. Excellent. Well, welcome to Speaking of Events. This is my treat. We're a little bit cut from the same cloth, which is exciting for me, having the showbiz theater background. Yes. I would never put myself in the category of dancer. I'm a singer actor who moves well.
Copy that. I'll remember that. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. So, yes. We were doing a little choreo. Yes, exactly. We were doing, truth be told, I was pot parading before we started, a little bit of choreo, just FYI.
You did. And you had nice arms, by the way.
Thank you.
Arms matter.
Hi. Yes. Hey, I'm taking my first tap class in a long time this weekend, by the way.
Are you really?
I am. They have the dance studio where my daughter goes is offering adult tap dance, which I heard is actually for adults and not, it doesn't mean like topless or any, no, like it is. I did confirm that, I think.
Sometimes you need to. I used to live in Vegas. So,
right, exactly.
So word of advice, even though you didn't ask for it.
Yes.
Use your plie.
Use my plie.
My daughter gets so tired of hearing me say that. She laughs so hard every time I say it, but it's absolutely true. Especially in tap, you got to sit in the plie or you won't make it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm done. Oh, no, that is fantastic. And that's fine. I know we have at least one tap dancer audience member, and he will appreciate that. He also used to, never mind. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Speaking of events.
Back to speaking of, right. Oh, I go off the rails here. Okay. Hey, I think I heard, you know, Karen, something about events. You've had a couple months of experience in the world. No, you've we're talking about vast experience years. What I didn't tell people is that you're 127 years old and you have a ton of experience. So tell us, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
I am a dinosaur, and that's fact. And I have more energy than a 20-year-old, fact, when it comes to events. So you're accurate. What I wish people knew about events is that they're not all cut from the same cloth, and events are not experiences, are not conferences.
Events are not experiences and not conferences. Tell me more.
Right. They're not all the same. So when a client, when a customer is speaking about an event, in their head, they could be thinking experiential. They could be thinking conference. They could be thinking trade show. They could be, that's not a keynote and that's not an event. So I think it was hard to answer that in one word, right? Or in one thing, right? But that one thing is a lot of things. And I think people get confused or confuse it up, or depending upon where they work and their budget, it kind of, the vernacular gets confused. The budget kind of dictates certain things, as you know. So I think differentiating between events to experiences to conferences to kind of narrow it down a little bit would be my one thing. Event is, I'm walking in the door to listen to someone speak. I'm walking in the door to hear Carrie Garba speak on tapping.
It's going to be very short.
It's going to be a brief keynote, just saying. So an event is something I'm going to listen to a product, to listen to a launch, to listen to a CEO, a celebrity endorse something, right? It's a specific event. Experience or experiential should be creative. It should be immersive. It should be all the things. It should be something that you're walking in the door to understand. How do I use my mobile device to connect to the agenda, to dive into a breakout room with my colleagues and my customers, et cetera? It's how do I get into the gaming section where I sit with gamers? And it's all that, right? Which is different from a conference, which is everything. It's a week long. It spans an entire two blocks of a city. It's, as you all know, it's, you know, as people have done many times, it's a trade show. It's the show floor. It's keynotes. It's breakouts. It's the customer meetings. It's the breakfasts. And where I'm going, you know, it's that is the encompassing of the entire event is a conference. So I think if I had to nutshell it, that's how I would explain it. Listen, I'm not the authority. I definitely didn't write the book on it. But as I've had 25 years, 30 years of experiences all over the world, from China to Spain to Germany to Florida to New York, you know, and Vegas, certainly, you find that people have different views and approaches and strategies to events. So, and gosh, especially now, considering we're coming out of pandemic and it shifted the entire environment of how we look and touch and feel events and how we talk about them. Now we're hybrid, now we're virtual, now we're in person. Now, so you have all of these things that need to come together, and we need to kind of land that plane, if you will. We need to land on a good vernacular and call it what it is.
I agree. There's lots of difference, especially when we talk about hybrid. That means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So my question for you is, can you have a hybrid event or experience or conference? Is that possible?
Yes, 100%.
Check, 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 all three.
100%. I have produced them all virtually, 100%. Not easy, especially the experiential. I tackled that at Oracle. Because we were in the pandemic and we had to. You either reinvent and recreate and figure it out and get scrappy, or you don't, or you die on the vine, right? So that's our jobs. How do we figure this out? How do we shift and pivot quickly? Pivot is such an overused word, but it's here we are with the dance again, with the dance word. Absolutely critical and appropriate to say. We had to pivot quick and figure it out, and we did, and it was hard and it was painful, but we did it, you know. Experiences hybrid, absolutely. Mobile devices, going back to the mobile device idea, that's exactly where all that started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Events, 100%, you can do them hybrid. Conferences, yes, we definitely did them hybrid virtually at Gartner as well. So yes, 100%.
Do you have a specific pivot you're really proud of?
Oh my. Yes, actually at Gartner. These two gentlemen who are just lovely and extremely intelligent in their field, data and analytics, very impressive, had so much they wanted to share to the field. And quite suddenly, they were told that they were pivoting from in-person to virtual. And they were very upset. They were devastated. And enter Karen, executive producer, who they don't even know. You know, they don't know that I've executive produced all over the world. They don't know that I've dealt with celebrities and CEOs. They have no idea who I am. They just know they're upset, and they just know they wanted to do this, and now they have to do this. So it took a lot of handholding and a lot of, you're going to be okay, I promise, I got you. And a lot of differences of timeline from what they had expected to what was really happening. Some really rough moments. End of the story, fast forward. Most successful data and analytics conference virtually ever.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. KPIs off the chart, customers freaking out off the chart. I mean, they were like, we're so happy. You know, we did it completely virtually. Hired the crew virtually. I watched virtually over Zoom and gave them direction over Zoom. It can happen. And it was lovely. And it was a beautiful partnership between the agency, between us, between, you know, the talent, if you will, and the crew on the ground. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. So to hear that the customers responded, to hear that they were so pumped and like, yeah, you know, it was a win-win. Yeah.
Wow. Fabulous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, Karen, I'm going to pivot. I'm pivoting.
If you can see it,
I just pivoted.
You know what? But I feel like a little bit of your hairography was appropriate as well.
Thank you.
I felt you yes. When you flipped a little bit. Yeah.
For those not watching yes, I'm giving her good hair. It's good.
You are giving me, I feel like you need a Beyonce fan though. I call it the Beyonce.
Oh,
fan.
I do. Yes.
You need a fan that's like giving you life from underneath. Yeah.
So can somebody get on that and send me one of those? But I can't have a lot of noise because we can't have it picked up by the mic. So, you know,
help us out.
Right. Where's happen? My fan? Can I get Thank my fan, you. Please?
Thank you. Thanks.
All right. We're moving on to my favorite topic. It's time. I want to talk about.
Uh-oh. Here it comes. I can feel it coming.
Right. I really want to say something other than actually what's going to come, like just to see your reaction, but I'm going to keep it clean and say, I want to talk about speakers. So what, okay. Ideally, because you've worked across the board, ultra crazy famous people to your engineering heads down kind of folks. So ideally, how would you prep or how do you prep speakers? What's your ideal situation?
Ideally, it's baked rehearsal. It's rehearsal is baked into the process, ideally. Yes. A month out, table reads, read-throughs, whatever you want to call them, rehearsal online, all the way up to 2 weeks to the event. The keynote, in person, and then clearly on the ground, boots on the ground. If you're in person, you are face to face with your speaker, and you're both finally connecting on all cylinders. You've had a month to 2 weeks, if not, you know, more, to really flesh out the content, to really step through the cadence and the timing and the inflection points And oh, I need you to get emotional here. I need you to bring it up a notch here, whatever it is, to really be 100% on stage by the time they hit center stage. That's ideal. And it rarely happens. And scene. I mean, let's be real. Not all budgets can afford the rehearsal time. Not all executives think they need it.
Really? I can't even say that with a straight face. Yes, agreed.
Our challenge as producers is to, number one, get it baked into the budget ahead of time. Effectively teach executives in corporate why it's needed and how it's needed and how to do this. Yes. Instead of just shouting it at them, you need rehearsal. It's our job to teach them how that makes sense for them at the end of the day. Just like your child, you don't just spit information at them, expect them to understand it. And don't say, you just need to go do your homework. Here's why. Right. You know, here's why you need to brush your teeth. Because at the end of the day, this is good for everybody. This is going to yes. help everybody. You know, understand it's education and it's getting them to understand why. It's not just, this is what I think and this is why, because I've been in here for 30 years saying it. You know, it's absolutely important and critical to the process of the success of the entire event to be 100%. Because if this person is not rehearsing, there's going to be that gap. And then the rest of the team, the crew, backstage, audio, lights, video, everybody's trying to scramble to make up for that. When months ago, we could already be down the road, smooth sailing.
Right. Well, now that I'm a little bit in love with you, you said everything. I agree with everything you said. It's why I built my entire business. It's why I'm filming my TED Talk next week on how to rehearse anything. So we're going to get there.
I like it.
All right.
I like that.
Thank you. And now, Karen Snowden, it is your opportunity to share with us and understand audience. And I'm very excited because I've already got a little, we have prep calls. So I'm already a little like, I can't wait.
Did you get a little sneak peek?
Little sneak peek because I'm very excited. Yeah, I have heard through the grapevine, meaning I asked you a couple weeks ago, do you have a speaker disaster or 10 stories to share with our audience? Because we love speaker disasters. I do. I am speaking for myself. I do.
I have fun ones. I have gross ones. I have ones. So, you don't want to share all your horror stories because then you're breaking the cone of silence of all backstage managers and crews and executive yes. producers all over the world. And I would get all kinds of phone calls and like, I can't believe you told them that story. So I don't want to, break the code, if you will, but one particular event wherein several more just came to my mind as well. So one particular event where it was literally, I was constantly getting at least 5 to 6 CEOs and senior VPs and back to back on stage. So it was like keynote after keynote after keynote. And we're talking major global brands. We're not talking, these are recognizable folks. And it was early, of course, because as keynotes and events and conferences start Very early.
Early in the morning. Yep, absolutely.
You know, your crew has an early call and we've all been there and we've all had coffee and we're all trying to stay awake. And we've gone through, I think, two keynotes at this point, and I'm getting another keynote on stage. And this, I'm just going to, I definitely don't want to use names. This gentleman arrives for his keynote, and let's just say he literally looked like he just got out of bed. He literally looked like he rolled up and just walked into the room and just stood there and stared at me. And I'm like, you know, you have to be respectful. It's so, you know, fragile, right? You could really step on some toes. There's sensitivities there and you have to be kind and respectful.
What was he dressed? Or were there pants involved?
There were pants on.
Okay.
barely.
I mean, that's
he barely positive. Made it. He barely made it. There's a check mark. Yeah. Good job. I'm thinking, God, how's he going to get through this keynote? Like, he better have some badass notes. So, you know, thank God for the DSM, the downstage monitor. Anyway, you know, I have a kit with me always. Comb, toothbrush, mints, name it. I will make it happen for you. And I said, sir, please forgive me, but I'm going to have to fix you up to get on stage. He had like food in his teeth. He had stuff in his nose. Yeah, it was really, really gross. He was gross. And this is what freaks me out is like, these are the people that are like leading our top company. Anyway, I digress. So that was one. And I had to check his nose and I had to check his teeth again. And he was like, it was so gross. And he stunk and like, bleh. Yeah, it was all the things on all levels.
Just everywhere. Trigger warning for the audience. This actually isn't the gross story, by the way. This is not the gross story that you alluded to before, by the way.
Oh, the one? Yeah. Are you talking about the one, the guy with the diarrhea?
Yeah,
yeah. He had just... That was one that popped into my head. Like, yeah, this story with the teeth and the, because you're on IMAG and
yes,
you're going to see this right here 10 times over. So,
yeah, so this the hot mess guy, did he made it on stage because you like fluffed him up.
I took a lint roller to him. I did everything I could besides just completely reinvent him before he got on stage. But yeah, the gentleman,
and had a rough night?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Didn't ask because you don't ask, right? Yeah. So the gentleman that had diarrhea, I felt really terrible for him because he was very kind. He was being very transparent about it. And I was like, okay. So
did he have pants on? I mean, this Karen, I'm asking the important questions. I just want to make sure.
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay.
What scared me was, sir, the question, you know, never have I asked this ever. And have I ever asked it again? Are you going to make it on stage and off of stage? Are we going to have to clean you up?
Oh God. Okay.
Are we going to have to cancel you? Serious questions. Dead serious. Like, are you going to be able to make it on stage? Yeah. He had just flown in from a third world country the day before, and he had some sort of virus flu thing.
What do they call it? Montezuma's revenge. Is that a thing? Montezuma's revenge. Yes.
He had some sort of revenge because he was letting me know. Yeah. Hey, he got on stage and did his keynote and I've never seen him fly off stage faster. He was moving.
Is Imodium something that you have in your kit?
It is. And it is. And it is. And yes. And it will happen again.
Do you have those astronaut diapers in the kit? I mean, that's legit. You don't know what people need.
You're dealing with human beings. You're dealing with human beings and things. So those are two gross speaker stories. Fun speaker story was a very large, well-known celebrity. I'll just say James Cameron. He was speaking. I had heard horror stories about him. I had heard how, you know, demanding and awful he can be. And I was like, well, of course he's demanding. He, please look at him. He's, look what he does, you know. Nothing but kind and amazing to me. Nothing but funny and light. And we had a great time together. You know, I was doing his makeup. He was laughing at me. We had a great time together. So I'm getting him to stage. Of course, it's very dark backstage. And, you know, he's quite a tall man and I am quite not tall. So we're backstage. He's about to go on and he steps on my foot. I mean, like hard, like he stepped on my foot. And I was like, and he was like, oh my God, I just broke your foot. And we were laughing so hard. I had tears. Yeah. It was a beautiful moment between us. James Cameron stepped on my foot. Yeah.
Who did anything broken? Are we good? Is it all clear?
No, right? I should have milked it and gotten it. I'm just kidding. No, no, that was fine. I'm like, I'm fine. Just get on stage. I'm fine. Yeah.
Was any of that intimidating? I mean, what, out of the, you know, the hot mess guy, the pooper and James Cameron, any of it? No, you just roll with it. That's who you are, right? That's who we are in this business, I think.
You don't treat them like anyone lofty or different than anyone else. They're people.
Yeah.
You don't disrespect them, but I think that's why I can do what I do with, I mean, I've worked with Bruno Mars. I've worked with, you know what I mean? And we were chatting out. You just roll with it and you treat them as human beings. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We are. We all are. All of us are human.
One more speaker story. One woman who had not been on stage before. She was super, 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 super nervous. Yeah. As you know, it happens to a lot of people.
It happens. Absolutely.
She rehearses. She's shaking. I mean, you can see, you know that. You know, you can see.
Yes, I know.
I'm like, come on. I'm like, what do I need to do to get you? You know, how can I help you? Right. And she turns to me and whispers, I need a shot of vodka. It's like, okay, made it happen. Shot of vodka. She's on stage.
Was it in the kit?
It's in the kit now. The kit is growing. The kit is growing. The things
I picture wearing. More Karen, like a Mary Poppins bag that you have that just
I'm just saying you can't make this stuff up. That's very true. That's very true.
Her a shot of vodka. She doesn't. She's better. It helps.
It did.
Oh, whatever works. It did.
And nobody knew that. Nobody knew.
Nobody was the wiser.
Nobody was the wiser.
All right. So you're slaying it through all these things, through James Cameron killing your foot and, you know, somebody with diarrhea, which I'd be like, I'm out. I have my limits. I'm out. So you're slaying all of it and have been for a really long time through all these events that you've produced and supported and countries. I mean, everywhere. So where's the challenge for you? Like what keeps you up at night?
There's a long-term challenge and there's a short-term challenge. So there's a long-term something that keeps me up at night, which is people being in positions that they're not really trained for or versed for. That keeps me up at night. That bothers me a lot. So I've seen it a lot. I've seen, a lot in corporate, I'm going to be honest. Folks being placed into position because they were next in line, because that was the, that was their next step. That was the right. They were on that trajectory. So great. Let's just keep them going on that train. I've seen folks just promoted to that just because they had been there for 10 years. I've seen folks just hired in just because they seem like a fit. It really does bother me. I've seen it a lot. And people in positions that don't belong there, who don't know really what events are and really how it works and what needs to be done 10 steps ahead, it really concerns me. That keeps me up at night, for sure. Short term, what keeps me up at night is the current environment, is the current volatility of the culture and the corporate culture right now, and the layoffs. It really, really bothers me right now.
Yeah.
That we have knee-jerk reacted so severely to the economy that we have just laid off all these people. This is worse than the pandemic. I've never seen it this bad since like 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
When the economy dropped out and everybody lost their jobs in 08, 09. Not to sound old and dinosaur-y, but hey, it is what it is.
We did discuss that you were
125. I'm just saying, so. Been around a hot minute, I've seen. And I've experienced it all. So, to make it through the pandemic, and here we are coming out of it, redefining events, how we talk about it, how we touch it, how we feel it, how we present it, how we talk about it to customers and clients. And it will never go back to the same, which is not a bad thing. To suddenly, here we are reinventing events again because we don't have the team in place to execute it, right? Because everybody's been fired and everybody's looking for jobs. So, long answer, those are the things that are keeping me up at night.
Thank you for that.
I know it gets deep.
I gotta breathe through that. Yeah.
It gets deep, and then we'll come back out of it somehow. It's the pendulum swing. It drives me nuts.
I know. Yes, absolutely.
Can we just find some balance? Can we just, you know that the pendulum will swing again all the way to the right, all the way to the left, and then finally hit center again. Yeah. It has to, right?
So you're swinging, you're out there swinging these days. What's your eye? And I mean, professionally, what is your eye? That's a very different podcast. What is your ideal? What do you want to swing into next? What would be your ideal next thing?
Love that question. Definitely would love to oversee direct of operations. Events operations, just oversee the whole process and have that 30,000 foot view and be able to forecast appropriately so agencies are not running with their hair on fire, so that internal teams are working together appropriately. I would love to see that calm cadence again, that vibey, that calm, peaceful vibey, that environment that we used to have. I would love to be in that position again. excuse me. Oversee operations of events, bottom line. Yeah. And large teams.
Yes.
That makes me happy. Yes. That makes me happy. That's
why I hope that we get to work together and cross paths.
I do too.
Someday soon. Before that, however, Karen Snowden Yee, you need to experience the Lightning Express round. Are you ready?
I think I'm ready. I'm always ready. What are we doing?
All right. So here's what we're doing. It's 45 seconds on the clock, but there's not really a clock. And it's 7 questions. Here we go. Question 1. What is your favorite moment in the event process?
Am I timed?
Yes. Not really. Yes.
Oh, my favorite moment in the event process. When we finally take it to stage. When we're finally on stage. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. Be you.
The timer went off.
I know. It's very, I know. There's a lot of pressure. Who do you consider your mentor?
Oh, my. That is a very good question. I have many. Event-wise, look, did you see my face? Like,
yes, start smiling. I know. I love it.
Yeah, event-wise, Troy Askew, who is the owner of Digital Blue Global, you're welcome. Dear, dear friend of 30 years, we've been in the industry together for a very long time. Troy and I have seen it, done it all. We actually produced Rod Stewart back in the day together. Anyway, yeah, I could tell you stories all day. We could be here all day, Carrie.
I know.
Troy Askew, show-wise and event-wise, look him up, Digital Blue.
Noted. Put it in the show notes, Digital Blue.
Great agency, amazing agency. And corporately, Rupal Shah was formerly at Intel, formerly at Oracle. Incredible human being, very kind, guidance, lead, will tell me what I need to hear, even if I don't want to hear it. Same as Troy for events and as a dear friend. But Rupal had my back when no one else did.
Amazing.
She's an amazing person. Yeah, and she's at Checkpoint Technologies now. It's a software company. Awesome. Yeah, she's an awesome lady.
All right, very different question. Who is your celebrity doppelganger?
Who do I say it is, or who do people tell me all the time?
Yes, both.
Yes, and. So I am told frequently it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, really? That is not what I thought. Okay.
There's others, but that's the one that comes to my mind like right away. Who do you say?
Okay. Oh, well, when we originally met, I thought Sherry O'Terry. Did you ever get that?
If I could stand up and do the Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry cheerleading segment right now, I would. But
I imagine you're the same height because you said you're very petite and you right now. Yes, yes. Okay, so people say to you, Juliette Louis-Dreyfus, who I love. I have very much similar hair to her. Uh-huh. I did in the 90s. I always had this dream that I wanted to play her younger sister on Seinfeld. Okay, and then who do you say you look like?
I don't know anymore.
I
have been told also, this is very bizarre, Giada. On Food Network.
Oh, yes. Oh, I can totally see that. Yes. Yes.
Especially when I'm like 10 pounds lighter.
Oh, yeah, because you're so heavy right now. She's not. Understand if you're listening and not watch. This woman is petite.
Listen.
Petite. I could put you on my hip. You're so petite. I love it.
Giada, call me.
Yes.
I got you.
She's very petite as well. Apparently, correct. Like has a lift, correct, in her kitchen, I heard. Okay. Wow. Correct. This is way longer than 45 seconds and I'm excited. Okay. What do you do, Karen? What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Pray. Work out. And drink a lot of wine.
Yeah.
This is not coffee.
Right. It's not coffee in that big mug. That is amazing. When you're not on... And you know what I mean.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Preparing for the next day.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd say drinking wine, but okay.
We'll move that on. Too. That's plus. Yes. Always hustling.
Yeah. Yes. Always hustling.
When you lose your hustle, you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hustling, what's your favorite place to produce an event? Do you have a favorite event place?
I do. I absolutely do. I mean, obviously Vegas is my heartbeat when it comes to producing events. I mean, how many have I done there and how easy was it, right? It became normal. You know the ballrooms, you know the dimensions, you know the people, blah, blah, blah. But Barcelona. In Spain, yeah. Barcelona, the people are incredible. They are so easy to work with. They're so sweet and giving, and what do you need and how can we help you? And, you know, we come over Americans with our, you know.
Yes.
And then you just take a step back and realize they aren't that. So we don't need to be all that, right?
Nice.
So cool. So much fun.
Where are you going? Barcelona. Oh, that's from
if anyone's watching this, if anyone's watching and they would like to send me to Barcelona, please do so.
Oh, I'll go. And if there's a companion ticket, count me in.
Again, if you go, put me in your pocket, reverse.
Because you'd fit. All right, final question. Best way to take care of an event professional.
Best way to take care of an event professional. Best way to take care of an event. What type of event professional are we referring
you, to? You, Karen, what's the best way to take care of you?
Oh. Can we talk about that here?
Yes, we can. Also, we're almost done and you haven't cursed at all. And I'm like, I know, really disappointed.
You should be really proud of me because I was trying not to. You should ask my boyfriend.
I'm going to
ask him. How do you take care of her? Cause she ain't easy. The best way to take care of an event professional or the best way to take care of Karen? That's different.
The best way to take care of Karen.
Listen. Be patient. And not hold on too tightly.
Oh, I like it. Listen, be patient. Don't hold on too tightly. Wow. Karen, you have made it through the not so lightning express word. And didn't use the F word. I am very disappointed at the sorry apologies to everybody for this.
I am so
very
sorry.
Very disappointing episode.
I did not roll the F bomb for you today.
Wow. I'm very impressed. Very, very impressed. So thank you. Thank you, Karen Snowden Yee. Where can, if they want to connect with you, and I think they should for all sorts of reasons, where can people connect with you? Where can they find you?
Always on LinkedIn. Always on LinkedIn.
And we'll post that in the show notes for you. Yep.
Yes. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And you can send me a little DM there on LinkedIn if you would like to converse further, if you would like to talk about events. I don't want to give my email out here. But yes, they are.
Find you on the LinkedIn. It's a great place to connect.
Mm-hmm. And on Twitter.
Yes. Oh, and on Twitter.
Okay. I am at 7 foot inside on Twitter.
Love it. That's 7 foot inside on Twitter. We'll post that in the show notes. So yes. You are 7 feet inside and outside in your personality. And this has been 7 feet of fun for and wealth of knowledge, as I stated at the beginning, for me. So thank you. Thank you, Karen Snowden Yee.
Thank you for being a guest. You're awesome. I love this time. I love our time together.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, you are so welcome. It was our pleasure to have my pleasure. There's no R here to have you as a guest on Speaking of Events. Thank you, Karen Snowden Yee. Thank you to our audience. Remember, if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, still someone about this podcast, give us 5 stars. Karen Snowden Yee, not cursing, is worth 5 stars, and I'll have her come back and curse if that's gonna give you more. Yes, do it. Thank you. I'm 7 feet tall right now on the inside.
You'll be 7 feet tall in your tap class, sister.
Woo! Oh, that's right. Yes, I've got tap this weekend. Thank you for such a wonderful time and show. And thank you to everybody. And remember that whatever you speak about, keep speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovations.